If it takes 90 hours to read the Bible through, and you read it 1 hour a day, you will read the Bible through 4 times a year. How many times did you read the Bible through last year? Now, if you're a faster reader, you'll read the Bible through in 72 hours. Oh, people can read it through faster than that, but if you read the Bible through every 72 hours, and that is, I think Billy Graham published that it takes 72 hours to read the Bible through, you would read it through, if you read 1 hour a day, over 5 times a year. If you read it 30 minutes a day, you'll read the Bible through twice a year. If you only read the Bible 15 minutes a day at a 90-hour reading, you will read the Bible through once a year. Once every year, only 15 minutes a day. You know what happens? We skip a day, and then we skip 2 days, and then we're going to make it up on Saturday, and then we find out Saturday is filled, and then we can't catch up. We get so far behind, we can't catch up. So the best thing to do is discipline ourselves to read the Bible every day, at least 15 minutes, and you read it through once a year. Plus all of your other reading and all of your other studying and preparing for Sunday school and preparing for preaching, preparing for witnessing, and just preparing for family devotions and so on. But just your leisure reading, 15 minutes a day, you'll read slowly. You'll read the Bible through once a year. The Bible discloses the mind of God, reveals the state of man, points out the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its judgments are unchangeable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to sustain you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here heaven is opened and paradise restored, and the gates of hell are made reality. Christ is its grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, a garden of glory, and a river of pleasure. It is given you in life, will be open in the judgment, and will be remembered forever. It involves the greatest responsibility and condemns all who trifle with its holy contents. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. That's the Bible. Did you ever hear this poem? Last eve I passed beside a blacksmith's door and heard the anvil ring the vesper chime. Then looking in, I saw upon the floor old hammers worn with beating years of time. How many anvils have you had, said I, to wear and batter all those hammers so? Just one, said he, and then with twinkling eye, the anvil wears the hammers out, you know. And so I thought, the anvil of God's word, for ages skeptic blows have beat upon. Yet, though the noise of... falling blows was heard, the anvil is changed, the hammer's gone. I like that. How many have Halley's handbook? Quite a few of you. He writes, the earth is only a tiny speck in the infinite expanse of God's universe. Astronomers estimate that the Milky Way, the galaxy to which our earth and solar system belong, contains over 30 billion suns, many of them immensely larger than our sun. It is shaped like a thin watch, its diameter from rim to rim being 200,000 light years. The distance that light travels in a year at the rate of 186,000 miles per second. And there are at least 100,000 galaxies like the Milky Way, some of them millions of light years apart. All this may be only a speck compared to what is beyond in the infinite, endless stretch of space. We bow and sometimes even tremble in reverence and awe at the thought of it. Unquote. You've heard me say, men do not reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. Men reject the Bible because it contradicts them. That's right. You've heard me say the New Testament is in the Old Testament contained, while the Old Testament is by the New Testament explained. Naturalism. Webster's Dictionary, philosophy. The belief that the natural world, known and experienced scientifically, is all that exists, and that there is no supernatural or spiritual creation, control, or significance. And I will be maybe coming up with a little discussion on naturalism. Naturalism is the belief that the natural world, known and experienced scientifically, is all that exists, and that there is no supernatural or spiritual creation, control, or significance. Now, the doctrine of creation, the fact of creation, exasperates, it annoys, it irritates a naturalist. But the Bible says, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. It is not my purpose, it's not my manner to argue over opinions about the Scriptures. The Word of God is too precious for me to allow my spirit to become irritated, upset, or angry in an argument over opinions on the Word of God. Acts 17, verses 16 and 17. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. The word disputed, number 1256, and you know I'm referring to Strong's concordance, quote, to say thoroughly, that is, discuss, in argument or exhortation, dispute, preach unto, reason with. The same word is used in Acts 17:2, and Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days reasoned with them out of the Scripture. So in Acts 17 it says he disputed, and another verse in the same chapter says he reasoned, and they are from the same Greek word. The Greek word, number 1256, is translated reasoned also in Acts 18:4, Acts 18:19, and Acts 24, verse 25. 1256 is also translated into the English word preached, and preaching, and speaketh. So when you say he disputed, it could mean he was speaking, he was preaching, or he reasoned with them, according to the Greek. I love to reason the Scriptures with people. That is, with people who are hungry for God and for truth, even as I am. But when I'm drawn into an argument, Malachi 2, 15 and 16 quickly come into my mind, and I pray that I will keep my heart with all diligence, and, like Malachi says, take heed to your spirit. Take heed to your spirit. Watch it when you get in a dispute or a reasoning situation with people. Watch your spirit. My dad always said you can be right in the argument and wrong in the spirit. Sometimes we don't know what manner of spirit we are of, and Jesus has to come along and tell us, you know not what manner of spirit you're of. And according to Malachi, we are in danger of dealing treacherously against others. Now I said all of that to say this, and I want to say it as kindly as I can. Some people teach that the 6 days of creation, plus the seventh day in which God rested from all His work which He had made, are longer than the 24-hour day as we experience them, a day. Some people, or some Bible schools, teach that the days of creation were much longer than 24 hours each. Some teach that each day is 1,000 years, and they quote 2 Peter 3:8 as proof. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is a day. Some teach that each creation day is 7,000 years, and they give no reference. That's interesting. But that's all too sophisticated for me. Sophisticated means not simple. It means artless, naive, urbane, worldly wise or knowledgeable, perceptive, subtle, etc. Number two, designed for appealing to sophisticated people. Three, highly complex, refined, or developed characterized by advanced form, technique, and so forth. The word sophisticated comes from sophist. Webster says sophist means, in ancient Greece, any of a group of teachers of rhetoric, politics, philosophy, and so forth, some of whom were notorious for their clever, specious arguments. Two, a learned person. Three, any person practicing clever, specious reasoning. So let's guard against sophism. Sophism, according to Webster, now we're talking about sophisticated, sophist, and sophism. To play the sophist, clever, skillful, wise, a clever and plausible but fallacious argument or form of reasoning, whether or not intended to deceive, fallacy, or sophistry. There is a scripture in Acts 26 that has blessed me without end. I find a principle in this verse that has guided me in my feeble attempts to interpret other scriptures. Acts 26, verse 22. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things. Paul said, I say none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. That Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. This is the message. Paul had the message. Then I went on and said, the new is in the old contained, and the old is by the new explained. If Jesus and his apostles did not expound on it, be careful. How old is the earth? Does it matter? Does it matter? The prophets in the Old Testament didn't bother to establish the age of the earth. Jesus didn't broach the subject. Broach means bring up or introduce. Jesus didn't broach the subject. None of the apostles ever mentioned it. How old is the earth? Does it matter? The Old Testament prophets didn't bring it up. Jesus didn't bring it up. The apostles didn't bring it up. Why should I? What we do have in scriptures is 6,000 years, less 10, of man's history. We have 4,000 or 4,004 years in the Old Testament, 1,990 years in the New Testament thus far. So that is very close to 6,000 years of man's history. And a lot of people suggest, a lot of Bible scholars suggest that 6,000 years is the limit. It won't last that long. There will be a lot of people surprised if this earth is still standing in its present form in another so many years, just a few years, less than a decade. I'll be surprised if it's standing tomorrow. Every day surprises me that God has let it go one more day. Amen. But I know why he does it. He says so in his word. He said we have to know this, that the long suffering of God is salvation. The reason that he allows the stench of sin to ascend up to his throne, that he has to almost pinch his nose for the sickening smell of what's going on in this world, is because there's one more hungry heart reaching out for him that he wants to save and that needs to be saved and wants to be saved. Praise the Lord. Well, I have an objection here. Science says that the history of man is much more than 6,000 years. You hear them talk about the different ages. You hear them talk about especially 10,000 years ago. I read that a lot. So somebody raised an objection to me and I wrote it down here. But Brother Tanberg, science says that the history of man is much more than 6,000 years. Here's where I answer. I'm sorry. That is science, falsely so called. Whenever you go against truth with science, you are science, falsely so called. And that's what 1 Timothy 6:20 calls it. When man says one thing and God says another, you can discount, totally discount what man says, because God is right. God is true. And I'm not standing up here as a rabble rouser or a babbler. I'm telling you that anybody's chronology of the scripture will prove to you that mankind is not 6,000 years old yet. So, I am not afraid to say, sorry, you haven't proven that man is over 6,000 years old. And then I can ask them what their proof is, and they will tell you carbon-14 testing, and they will talk about fossils, and they will, my number three point here is BLAH, comma, BLAH, comma, BLAH, comma, blah, blah, blah. Now, here's where they go wrong. When God created the heavens and the earth, and when God created mankind and put him on the earth, surely he created him with the appearance of age. He did not create an Adam in diapers. God believes in child care. Not by the government, by the family. And therefore, when God created Adam, and when God opened Adam up and took a rib, can you see God taking a rib out of a baby and making a life for him? Here's a husband and wife, 19 inches long, going around in diapers, and neither one of them know how to change the diapers. They get a terrible rash. There's no doctor, no medicine. How foolish can we be? When God created man, he created him with the appearance of age. He created a full-grown man that was able to understand immediately and was able to reproduce immediately. That's what God did. And when God created the heavens and the earth, he created them with the appearance of age. And so all of their tests, carbon-14, all of the other tests that they use to determine the age of the earth are invalid because God created the earth with the appearance of age. That's the answer. Let the scientists say what they will. Otherwise, we are defying and denying the Holy Scriptures, which say, in the beginning, God created. Then we are saying everything evolved and developed over the years. I told you now, I'm telling you what I believe, and I'll tell you why I believe it as we go along here. Somebody said, well, what about simultaneous fossil footprints of both Homo sapiens and dinosaurs? Yeah, I studied evolution once until I started to vomit. That's as far as I could go with that foolishness. Have you ever read a book on evolution? It says, supposing that approximately so many million years ago, it could have been, it might have been, hypothetically speaking. Have you ever read it? I have. That's the way they talk. They have nothing substantial. Amen. Nothing. Amen. It's just blah, blah, blah. You know why? Because they have denied the scripture and the very existence and power of God. Didn't Jesus say to a group of people one time, you do err, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. And that's what's wrong today. People don't know the scriptures, so they deny the power of God. God is all powerful. The Bible says all things are possible with God. And we limit the Holy One of Israel. God made that accusation. He said, you have limited the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Now, you know what I mean by Homo sapiens? That's a sophisticated word for human being, for man. 2 Peter 3. You must hear this. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers. Scoffers. Walking after their own lusts. Scoffers. You know what a scoffer is? You better be sure he's defying the Word of God. He's scoffing at the Word of God. Making light of the Word of God. Lifting himself up in pride above the Scripture. God doesn't really know what he's talking about. Listen to me. I know. I am intelligent. I am educated. I have a scientific mind. That poor God, he doesn't know what he's talking about. You ought to meet him sometime. You ought to meet him sometime. He knows what he's talking about, and he put it in print. Listen to it. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And they base their tests on how old the earth is, supposing that there never was a flood. That's their grave error. They test these things as though there never was a flood. Listen. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. What the scientists don't know, what they need to learn, I mean the unfaithful, the unbelieving scientists need to know, is that all things do not continue as they were from the beginning. They don't. The Bible says they don't. What God created in the beginning has been changed. And there's no way. No, God hid it from them. God hid it from them. And then he goes on and says, for this they willingly are ignorant of. Willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. You see, we're full of lust. We're full of lust. And so we're ignorant. Willingly ignorant of God's word. Because that word tells us to crucify the lusts of the flesh. But we don't want to do it. And so we got to rise up. And we've got to attack creation. We've got to attack God's word anywhere, any way we can. Because it crosses us. Men don't reject the Bible because it contradicts itself. There's no problem with creation. There's no contradiction in Scripture. In fact, there's no contradiction between Scripture and true science. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. Perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. You know what he's suggesting to us here? He's suggesting to us here that evolutionists are full of lust and they're ungodly. Boy, they don't like to hear that. They don't like to hear that. They don't have faith. They don't have faith, and so all you can do when you don't have faith is attack the Scripture. Hey, Christians aren't a bunch of gullible dummies. You couldn't convince me of that in a million years. Christians are the smartest people in the world. I mean, the fact that they don't smoke, and they don't drink, and they don't cheat on their wives or their husbands, and they live holy, godly lives, and they don't need to spend money on nightclubs and weekends out and television and movie theaters and all these things. Look at how smart the Christian is. Smartest people in the world. The smartest thing any man can do is give his life to Jesus Christ and live for God.
Amen.
For now and eternity. And so, there you have. There you have a little insight into what God says. He says there come scoffers in the last days that would say, where is the promise that is coming? And the mistake is they think that all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. And that is not true. Peter straightens that out, says that is not true. They are willingly ignorant of the truth. Willingly ignorant of the truth. They have lifted themselves up in pride above the Holy Scriptures. Now turn to 2 Thessalonians for another shocker. And show you how God handles these people. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Beginning at verse 8. We had to jump in here somewhere. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because, look at the reason, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, what cause? Because they did not love the truth. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. Didn't say the devil would send it. Said God would send them strong delusion. That they should believe a lie. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you know what he's saying there? He's saying there that God's, there's a principle I want to get across. God can send strong delusion. When somebody defies his word, denies his word, refuses, rejects, doesn't want, casts out his word, God can send them strong delusion. It's like God turns their switch off. And they will actually believe it with all their hearts. They're susceptible to it. They'll believe a lie. God says, because I can't let them in heaven. They have to be damned. Because they don't love my truth. I had a lady come to me, a biology teacher. She says, Mister, I've said this before. I believe in God and evolution. And I said, impossible. Impossible. You cannot believe in God and evolution. Because God said, in the beginning, he created the heavens and the earth. And then somebody else comes along and says, but this is how he did it. Through the process of evolution. No, he didn't do it through the process of evolution. The Bible says he spoke. Everything into existence. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the earth was without form and void. And God said, let there be. And there was. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the speech, the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Oh. I just don't go along with what they use as excuses. It won't work. It won't work with me. I'm tenaciously hanging on to this word of God.
Amen.
I believe it. And I'll tell you what, I haven't found any scientific article yet that has defied successfully this word.
That's right.
Amen. Well, you might not think I know anything. But I'll tell you what, when that teacher said that to me, her brother came in and I started talking to him, and he was even more educated than she was. Before it was over, I was standing talking to him. We had a long discussion. He was about ready to receive Christ. but he just couldn't quite make the hurdle. Alan was his name, and he loved me for it. God bless him. I still think of him, pray for him. Okay, I said that God sends strong delusion, and I call that a principle. Because whatever the context is there does not limit the principle to other applications or from other applications. So let me read Genesis chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, come, thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. And then he tells him what to bring in the ark, and he says, 7 days I'll cause it to rain on the earth, 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth. And Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years old when the flood of waters was upon the earth. That's kind of hard to believe too, isn't it? I mean, you know anybody 200 years old? Here's a guy 600 years old. He's building a boat. Going sailing. Methuselah lived to be 969 years old. How can you believe that and not believe something as simple as creation? Okay, you might miss my point there. Okay, Noah did according unto all that the Lord commanded him. Noah was 600 years old, and the flood of waters was upon the earth. Listen to this. Noah got into the ark, everybody with him, and it says, in the second month, 17th day of the month, the same day, were all the fountains of the great deep broken up. All the fountains of the great deep were broken up. And the windows of heaven were open. You know, some people think that it just rained for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 days and 40 nights. And everything stayed intact on the earth. You're absolutely misinformed. The fountains of the deep were broken up. You know what happened? Whatever was over here landed up over here. Whatever was here ended up over here. And it was cataclysmic. It was violent. That's what the very Hebrew word is talking about. Maybe I can find some proof for that. Listen to this genius, right, who is a Christian. He took the first guinea that he found as a little boy and bought a Hebrew Bible. Adam Clark. This seems determined by the Hebrew word M-A-B-B-U-L, translated flood, which is derived from B-A-L or B-A-L-A-L, to mix, mingle, confound, confuse, and confounded together. And when the supernatural cause that produced this mighty change suspended its operation, the different particles of matter would settle according to their specific gravities and thus form the various strata or beds of which the earth appears to be internally constructed. Some naturalists have controverted this sentiment because in some cases the internal structure of the earth does not appear to justify the opinion that the various portions of matter had settled according to their specific gravities. But these anomalies may easily be accounted for the great changes that have taken place in different parts of the earth since the flood, by volcanic eruptions, earthquakes, and so forth. Some very eminent philosophers are of the opinion, quote, that by the breaking up of the fountains of the great deep, we are to understand an eruption of waters from the southern ocean. Mr. Kerwin supposes, quote, that this is pretty evident from such animals as the elephant and rhinoceros being found in great masses in Siberia mixed with different marine substances, whereas no animals or other substances belonging to the northern regions have ever been found in southern climates. Had these animals died natural deaths in their proper climate, their bodies would not have been found in such masses. But that they were carried no farther northward than Siberia is evident from there being no remains of any animals besides those of whales found in the mountains of Greenland. And there's much more. My point is this, when the great fountains of the deep opened up, it was just one mass of whirlpools and suction, and I just caught it I just called it cataclysm. It was just pulled all over and everything was changed. And that's what Peter's talking about. He said, they think that this earth was like this from the beginning. And they're banking on all their tests on the fact that it was this way from the beginning. Peter says, not so. They're willingly ignorant. Now that's in the Holy Bible. We can be smarter than God, or we can take His word. Go to bed and sleep well. Because He's got pantocrator. Everything under His perfect control at all times. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, when it comes to, but they found this skeleton. Well, I've been to museums. I have more fun in museums when I talk to people. My wife, I don't know if she gets embarrassed or not, but I can't hold it. I can't hold it. That last trip we made out west, and I can't even remember all the details, but I just challenge these people. I do it nicely. I walk them into a trap, usually. Where? Really? It's not hard to get them to admit. If you can just present a few documented statements, it's not hard to get them to admit that science has changed its mind. But God has never changed His mind. Yes. I am the Lord. I change not. He doesn't have to change. He doesn't guess. He doesn't make educated guesses. He states the facts as they are. And He talks about a world being round 2100 years before Columbus discovered America. God's way ahead. Just read the book. Way back in Isaiah, He calls the earth a circle. You ever see a square circle or a flat circle? Round. God knows what He's doing, what He's saying, what He's talking about. It's His word. It's His creation. He knows all about it. And he says to Job, where were you? Where were you when I formed the heavens and the earth? Where were you? No, He wasn't even created yet. Amen. God was wise in creating man last, wasn't He? Amen. Our time is up. Next week I'll talk about in the beginning. I want to take you back to the beginning. See if you can go that far back. Until then, let's stand and praise the Lord.